You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on with our Bible on Business series. For those of you who are new here, since last year, we have been exploring what the Bible has to say about business. The Lord gave me a revelation last year that so many people, especially in this Christian entrepreneurship space, are overlooking the fact that the Bible has everything you need on how to strategize, grow, operate, launch your business. We look for all of these supplements in so many different places via coaches, YouTube videos, programs, books, etc. But everything that you need to see through what the Lord has given you is right here in the Word. And so we have been having a lot of fun. I know I have, exploring the Bible and what it has to say as it relates to business and what's applicable to us as entrepreneurs. We've been focusing a lot on leadership this year in the book of Acts. So I have a pretty extensive list of where we're going to be going in the book of Acts, but I'm excited because I have the rest of the year planned out for the podcast. And so we're going to explore marketing, finance, so many different places in this Bible on Business series. So stick around, make sure you subscribe and leave us a 5-star review if this has been blessing you. All right. So in today's episode, we're going to be discussing scaling your business God's way. We talk a lot about starting a business God's way, becoming a kingdom entrepreneur, etc. But what about scaling, growing our businesses in a way that's still in alignment with kingdom principles? All throughout the series, all throughout the years and years that this podcast has been up, it has been a common theme that as Christian entrepreneurs, we're going to disrupt head on the way that the world does things. And so today is no different. And I wanted to specifically tackle this topic of scaling or growing your business so that you can understand the differences in doing this the way that the world does and the way that the kingdom does. So first, we got to start with some definitions, right? In the modern worldly sense, when we talk about scaling a business, that refers to growing a company's ability to generate more revenue without increasing operational costs. So scaling is all about expanding your reach, increasing profit margins, maximizing efficiency, and oftentimes as quickly and as aggressively as possible. Companies want to grow and scale and make money quickly. And so usually the way in which people will go about it is automating systems so that you can reduce human labor, those operational costs. A lot of times people will outsource to lower cost labor markets. That's why a lot of products and things that are sold in the U.S. are manufactured overseas because it's cheaper. When people scale, they'll also increase their production or service capacity so they can meet the demands of the increased growth. They'll grow their customer base through things like marketing, ads, or any type of visibility tactics to get in front of your ideal consumer. Some people you'll see raising money from investors or loans so that they can fund the growth that they're looking to achieve. You'll see people expand to new markets or platforms quickly and just continue to invest in building a brand that dominates its niche. So these are like some very common tactics that happens when someone is looking to scale a business. So the mindset behind it is bigger, faster, more profitable as quickly as possible. And the world standard success is measured by numbers. So by revenue, reach, team size, client rosters. This is how the world approaches this concept of scaling their business. Now, there is overlap, and we're going to discuss the nuances throughout this episode, but the approach on how the world scales versus how we scale is different. If I had to define it from a kingdom perspective, I would say that scaling a business means multiplying impact and reach in alignment with God's will, His timing and values without compromising obedience integrity, or rest. So when it comes to scaling a business from a kingdom perspective, it's not just about growing bigger, it's about growing deeper. So really multiplying what God has entrusted us with and doing that through generosity, stewardship, and strategic delegation. And we're going to explore a few places in Acts that confirms just that. Let's first go to Acts 2, 44 through 45, and I'll read it in the New Living Translation. And where we land here, this is right after Pentecost, after Peter preached to the crowd. We talked about this before. This is where all those people who devoted themselves to the Lord were now forming a community. So in verse 44, it says, "And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need." Now let's unpack that for a second. The apostles received their power at the beginning of this. That's Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit came upon all of them. So they received their power. Then now through the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter stepped out in holy boldness and preached to the crowd. The result was all of these people giving their life to Christ. And we talked about like the timing of this some episodes ago, so I'm not going to go or reteach that. But the timing of this is just such an amazing point. But nevertheless, Peter preaches to the crowd. All of these people give their life to Christ. Now, the immediate next step is that they form this community. And as a part of this community, in order for the community to grow, to maximize impact, to be able to meet the needs of the individuals there, folks start bringing all of their stuff together. So you start selling things, bringing money to the group, and sharing everything so that everybody's needs could be met. This is the same heart posture that we have to have, because these people saw their resources not as theirs, but as God's. And so they were generous with their resources to share amongst the community so that everybody can grow together. And this is the same way that we should go about operating our businesses, understanding that scaling is not just about our individual business, but because this business is not ours, it's the Lord's. It's not for us. It's for those who he's called us to serve. It's for him. And so scaling our business means to be generous with the mindset of this business is to advance the kingdom of God, not just my pockets, not just my ego, not just my net worth, but this business, because it's the Lord's, is to be used to advance his mission on earth. So while the world may scale by cutting as much operations as possible and focus on increasing profit margin, we give generously to those in their compensation packages for those who come and work for our business. We don't hoard the money that we make. We give it and pour it back into the kingdom in some type of way. We don't worry about lack, because we know that we're being generous to advance the kingdom of God versus worrying about tariffs or a recession or the stock market. We don't have to worry about that as kingdom entrepreneurs, because we have the ultimate insurance plan. And that is the protection of the Lord. I had somebody who worked with me at one point, and they were doing an event. And this was an organization that they founded based upon something that the Lord had given them to do. And they were putting on this event in faith. And we had talked about it a few times where they asked me for like some advice and things like that. And they were putting on this event in faith, signing these contracts and all of these different things. And so they had a financial liability as they were approaching the event. And so my team member had reached out to me and was like, "Hey, it's kind of an odd request, but I have to pay for some things for this event. I don't have enough to cover it. Is it possible that I could get my next paycheck in advance?" And I said, "Absolutely." And gave her check in advance and donated books to all the attendees, because she had a book that she wrote that she would be selling at the event. And so I bought enough books for the attendees for her to give away for free, and went and volunteered my time to work the event. You know, whatever they needed me to do, sweep the floors, pour some water, like pray, lay hands, like whatever it is that needed to happen. I showed up and committed to serving in that capacity. And I don't say that to toot my own horn or make myself look a certain type of way, because there's plenty that I do that I never say anything about. But that's just an example of, it's not just about our bottom line, and it's not just about how we could grow our businesses financially quickly at the expense of whatever. No, it's about, what can we do? How can we be generous with what the Lord has given us to help advance the kingdom as a whole? And I mentioned to you guys before my story of, I was believing in God for my second child, and I was going back and forth between IVF or trying to conceive naturally because I was having difficulties. And I was really waiting for the Lord to give me his instruction on what his will was for me. I was willing to go whichever path was his will. I just needed to know what it was. And so this event that I'm talking about, as I'm there serving and praying and worshiping and doing my part to contribute to the event, that's when the Lord gave me confirmation and breakthrough on the decision that I needed to make. And so breakthrough a lot of times is on the other side of your generosity, and not just breakthrough in finances, but in any area. The Lord knows what we need. He knows the desires of our heart, and he knows exactly what to provide for us and when. And a lot of times is right on the other side of your generosity. So if you're in a position where you're looking to scale your business, but fear is moving you to navigate the world's way and be less generous, I would advise you to take a step back. I know what the stock market looks like. I know the implications of the tariffs. I know the uncertainty of these economic times. I know the job insecurity a lot of people have with a lot of the job cuts and all of that. All of what is very much so real and happening in today's world will lead an entrepreneur to hoard, to be fearful, to be less generous, because we just don't know where things are going. But again, we don't operate on how the world does things or in whatever climate the world is in. We obey God regardless. And I'm not saying that to say be irresponsible. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. Generosity can come in so many forms besides just a lump sum of money. But what I am saying is, having a right heart posture of generosity is our job as kingdom entrepreneurs, and it is a part of growing and scaling our businesses. Let's go to Acts 6. I'm going to read verse 1 through 7 in the New Living Translation. Now, at this point in the book of Acts, the early church is experiencing a lot of rapid growth. They're scaling. Thousands have come to the faith, as we saw in Acts 2. The apostles are performing miracles, teaching, and building this spirit-filled community. We saw, based off of the text that we just read, that the believers are united. They are living in community. They're being generous with each other, sharing their resources. But with growth comes challenges. Let me put y'all on for a second. Shopping on Revolve.com is truly an experience. It's like having a personal stylist built into the site. Whether it's vacation, brunch, birthday, or date night, as I was looking for, or if you want to just get cute for no reason, at Revolve.com, they get it. And they curate it for you, which makes the shopping experience so easy. One of the things I love the most were the accessories. I went straight for the designer shades, the dainty bracelets, the statement watches, all of my favorite things to have in my closet. And with summer right around the corner, I was all in the shoe section. There are so many cute styles that are perfect for dressing up or just running errands in style. They carry over 1,200 brands, from everyday favorites to designer must-haves. Plus, they drop new arrivals daily. I also love their size inclusivity. As someone who has been having babies over the last 5 years or so, my size varies. And I love that they have options from extra, extra small all the way up to 4X. From last-minute getaways to party dressing and seasonal upgrades, Revolve has you covered with fast 2-day shipping and easy returns, all on them. And for a limited time, you can shop a curated selection of my favorite styles at revolve.com/blessed and receive 15% off your first order with code BLESSED. That's revolve.com/blessed to shop my top picks and get 15% off your first order with code BLESSED. Offer ends June 15th, so don't miss out. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite. With all that's going on in the world right now, a lot of people are asking the question of, what does the future hold for business? If you ask 9 experts, you'll get 10 answers. Bull market, bear market, rates will rise or fall, inflation's up or down. No one knows for sure. But until they do, over 41,000 businesses have future-proofed their business with NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud ERP, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one fluid platform. With one unified business management suite, there's one source of truth, giving you the visibility and control that you need to make quick decisions. With real-time insights and forecasting, you're peering into the future with actionable data. When you're closing the books in days, not weeks, you're spending less time looking backward and more time on what's next. If I needed this product, this is exactly what I'd use. Whether your company is earning millions or even hundreds of millions, NetSuite helps you respond to immediate challenges and seize your biggest opportunities. Speaking of opportunity, download the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/blessed. The guide is free to you at netsuite.com/blessed. netsuite.com/blessed. This episode is brought to you by Cozy Earth. As a mom of 2 and a full-time entrepreneur, my days are nonstop. And I've learned the hard way that when I don't sleep well, everything feels harder and everything suffers. That's why I had to upgrade my nights with Cozy Earth. Their bamboo sheet set, let me tell you, game changer. It's the softest, most breathable fabric I've ever slept on. And the best part to me is the temperature regulation. I'm someone who gets hot in my sleep. I freeze my husband every night with the fan. But with the temperature regulation, I don't have to wake up hot or tossing and turning. I just rest deeply. So if you're someone who wears multiple hats like me, sometimes we have a tendency of putting ourselves last, and it's time to change that. Prioritize sleep and prioritize you. Visit CozyEarth.com and use my code BLESSED for up to 40% off sheets, pajamas, towels, and more. That's CozyEarth.com, code BLESSED. And if you get a post-purchase survey, let them know that you heard it right here. Sleep better with Cozy Earth. And so here in Acts 6, 1 through 7, this church is actually facing its first internal issue, organizational type of issue. So let's start at verse 1. It says, "But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, 'We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word.' Everybody liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit; Philip; Prochorus; Nicanor; Timon; Parmenas; and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too." So here's another key that's necessary for scaling a business God's way: structure and delegation. As we see here in the text, as the church grew, complaints arise. The same way as your business grows, complaints are going to come up. Sometimes you can't anticipate a problem until you're in it, especially when it comes to business. Because as you grow, certain logistical things may come up. Certain things that you may not have considered early on are now problems that you have to address. So many things happen that you can't necessarily account for, because you don't know what it's like for your business to be in a certain point until it actually is. So it's natural for complaints to arise. But what we see happen here when these complaints happen is they realize, okay, we got a structure problem. People are upset because the food ain't getting distributed right. They come into us, which is another issue because we don't need to be running no food programs, as they said. We need to be focused on praying and preaching the word. So what do we need to do so that this could be taken care of and then we could focus on what only we can do? It's never a good idea in your business for you to look at a problem and then you try to go ahead and do everything yourself, taking away from what's your core competency. That's where a lot of business owners mess up, to where you, because you are unwilling to relinquish control, and I would say in more ways than one, to the Lord and to other individuals, because if you trust the Lord, you would trust the Lord to send you the right individuals to delegate tasks to, but that's an episode for another day. But some people are so unwilling to trust and delegate tasks that you are becoming a bottleneck in your own business. And you think that you're doing it so that you could grow, because can't nobody do it like you. Oh, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. All of these things that you tell yourself to try to make it look like you doing everything is noble or humble in some type of way. But in reality, it's really just a bottleneck in your business that's stunting your own growth. You're working against yourself because of your inability to delegate and put the appropriate structure in place. In business, you have to know when to release control, when to install other people to do a job, and how to create scalable systems as well, because that's going to allow you to multiply your impact. Creating the necessary systems is what creates the space for God to grow your business without you being burnt out. So if this applies to you, if I'm knocking on your door when it comes to structure and delegation, here's what I want you to do. I'm gonna give you some practical things real quick. First, I want you to list the top things in your business that only you can do. Not only you want to do, but only you can do. For me, with Anchored Media, nobody else can strategize for my clients' podcast but me. That's what I do. That's what they hire me for. When it comes to stuff like editing, designing the show icon, posting, all of these other things, somebody else can do. But nobody can take a Christian podcast and strategize on how to make it successful in my company but me. Other people could have good ideas and all of that, but this is the mission that the Lord has entrusted me with. So nobody else can do that. But all the other stuff, doing the steps to take the strategy that I come up with to see it through, somebody else can do that part. And so then that leaves room for me to operate in my core competencies. And then when it comes to everything else, you automate it. Through all of this AI and technology and these great tools we have access to now, a lot of times you don't even need people. It is so cheap to scale a business now because of all the technology that we have. But you automate, you delegate to another individual, or you eliminate the task altogether. When you focus on structuring your business and creating the correct systems to leave room for scalability, you start to realize where the fat lies, where the things that aren't giving you a real return on investment are wasting your time. You start realizing, okay, I need to cut off some of these offerings or some of these products that I had. They're not selling. And it becomes a lot more clear what has to go and what needs to stay. Now, when it comes to the world's way of scaling a business, remember, speed is a big part of it, where everybody's trying to scale really, really fast. I'm a believer that anything that you do quickly can cause damage. If you crash your car going 50 miles an hour, you're going to cause a lot more damage than if you crash your car going 2 miles an hour. So what happens, and you could see this, I like to watch shows like Shark Tank. You could look at Shark Tank and see a lot of the entrepreneurs who are there to scale, because they're there to get capital and to get a partnership from one of the sharks to help them scale their business. A lot of them who have like a lot of operational issues, they don't have they're not holding on to their money. They have a lot of like kinks in their system or a lot of money being wasted. A lot of times is because they scaled too fast. And a lot of them don't get deals because they're trying to scale too fast. And so the world's way is not about taking your time to delegate or create an efficient structure for the Lord to then multiply. It's about how quickly can I get to the 100,000? How quickly can I get to the million? How quickly can I grow more and more and more? How quick and fast can this happen? That's what people are doing in the world, but that's not how we operate as kingdom entrepreneurs. That's not how we grow and scale. So if you need a recap on what kingdom scaling looks like versus the world, first, it looks like surrendering your outcomes to God and not striving for control. Say that again. Number one, surrendering your outcomes to God, not striving for control. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. Number two, it looks like multiplying your impact through people and not hoarding responsibilities. That's where our delegation conversation came in. Number three is about creating systems that honor both excellence and sustainability. Number four is about investing in people and communities and not just your bottom line, not just profits. Number five is about using the increase that you get as a vehicle for greater obedience, not just personal comfort. That's what we mean by generosity. How can I take what the Lord has blessed me with to obey him more and advance the kingdom more, not how I could stock my closet up, how I could stock my driveway up, how I could wear the money that I make, but how can I then use this increase to advance the kingdom? And then lastly, kingdom scaling looks like trusting God to bring increase to your business in his time and in his way. And I feel like that's the hardest one to grasp because a lot of us are impatient and a lot of us like to be in control. We want to do things our way. We want to see when we do things God's way, the impact of it quickly so we don't feel like we're crazy. So this is the hardest one to grasp, but you have to grasp it because it's a non-negotiable as it relates to this journey. Now let's pause here and talk about ownership for a second. Because this is a nuance that I believe we have to acknowledge and flesh out a little bit. Because when I'm thinking through my notes of the episode and just getting my mind wrapped around how I want to present the topic, of course, my mind is on these businesses that we're scaling, that we're operating. They're not ours. They're the Lord's. But then also we live in this world system where we do need to have certain paperwork in place. We do need to make sure we have ownership. So how do we scale strategically through ownership, like equity, intellectual property, things like that, without taking the control away from the Lord? The mindset that we have navigating this space is something that we have to be very clear on, because if not, we could easily drift off into doing things the world's way. I can't remember where it was in the leadership book that we're reading for our book club pick, where he talked about how the enemy is always just right there trying to tempt us back into self-reliance. And I feel like it's the same thing with business. When you're doing it the Lord's way, the enemy is always right there trying to tempt you back into doing it the world's way. And so when it comes to ownership and the mindset around ownership, it's important that we have the right perspective so that we can operate like stewards. Because that's who we are. These are God's businesses. We're just stewards of those businesses. And yes, it's our name on the paperwork. It's our name on all the documentation. But these are the Lord's businesses. So even with ownership, we own things from a place of stewardship, not control. And this is emphasized in Acts 4:32. Which is another example of how the believers all put their stuff together to serve the community, where it says no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. So the way that they operated in Acts was from a place of stewardship. They understood that what they had was the Lord's and they treated it as such. So when it comes to entrepreneurship, it could be tempting. And I could tell you from experience, it is tempting when it comes to navigating ownership in business to look at it as something that boosts your ego and not as a resource to be stewarded for the Lord. It feels good to say, oh, I got these, all of these trademarks. I have all of these LLCs. I have all of these licensing agreements, or I have all of these properties that I own. It's tempting for that to be an ego boost and for you not to look at it as something to just be stewarded for the Lord. And you could be asking me, okay, Tatum, I get it. I understand, but what does this look like practically? How do I operate from that space of understanding that ownership is important and doing what I need to do to make sure I have the right documentation to secure God's business while not falling victim to the enemy's temptation of allowing ownership to make me prideful? I hear you. Let me ask you this. Let's say you have spent months working on this course. You've packaged all of your knowledge into this online course that is going to be a passive income stream to help you scale your business. You got all the automation set up. You don't got to do nothing. You done did the course, it's uploaded, you got the materials, you got all the funnels and everything set up. Now all you have to do is sell it. And this is going to be the thing that increases cash flow in your business because it's automated. You don't have any like staffing or real operational costs besides whatever you host the course on. This is going to help get some wiggle room and some cash flowing into your business. And you spend all of this time and effort pouring everything into it. And then let's say after doing all of that, the Lord tells you, hey, give it away for free. Would you do it? This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is a huge deal. My oldest is heading to kindergarten in the fall, and fun fact, his school uses IXL. So we are so excited to lean into it. If you're anything like me, you want to set your child up for success. But sometimes those homework questions feel like another language, especially this new math that these kids are doing. Or maybe your child is ahead and needs more of a challenge. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. It's designed to help them really master topics in a fun, encouraging way. And here's what I love. IXL works for every child. Whether your kid is just starting out or in high school, one subscription gives you everything, pre-K through 12th grade. It's backed by research, and kids who use IXL consistently score higher on tests. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., and 1 in 4 students nationwide are learning with it right now. So if you're looking to save time, save money, and see real progress, this is the smartest investment that you can make. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Have you ever had those days where you're doing everything quote unquote right, eating clean, staying active, getting rest, but your energy's still crashing, your moods are all over the place, and you feel totally out of sync? I've definitely been there. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the quiz myself, and the results were eye-opening. It said my body may be overflowing with estrogen, which could be behind symptoms like my fatigue, bloating, and low moods. And based on my results, the quiz recommended Hormone Harmony, a natural formula that helps flush out excess estrogen and brings your body back into balance. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. By taking the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance and can make small, intentional changes to support your body. Whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today. If the answer is no, well, that's something to take to prayer and repent for, because that's going to lead you down a path of disobedience. So that's what I mean by doing all the things, but still maintaining the stewardship mindset, is that you are always flexible enough in all of your efforts to scale and grow your business for the Lord to come in and tell you to do it a different way, or to tell you to do it in a way that feels detrimental to your bottom line. That's what this looks like in practice. Let's say your business finally hit profitability. You're excited. You spent years growing your business. You've put everything into it. You went from being in the red to breaking even. And now, after all of this effort, all of these blood, sweat, and tears, you are finally in a place where you have some money left over. Your business is profitable. And you're excited. You own these profits. These are yours. You worked hard for. And then let's say the Lord says, hey, give all of that away. Would you part ways with what you quote unquote own? Was rightfully yours that you earned through all of the work that you put in? Would you give it away and go right back to just breaking even or being at a deficit, depending on how much the Lord told you to give away? Would you do it? That's not the generosity that we discussed if the answer is no. If your generosity is transactional, meaning you'll give when you're comfortable, like I'll give when I make this much, versus being something that's obedient based, then that's an issue. That's something to be addressed. But either way, that's how this looks in practice again. Being able to part with what's rightfully yours, what you own, what you've earned, simply because the Lord says so. That's how we operate as kingdom entrepreneurs. That's how we scale. Because obedience, as we said last week, is better than sacrifice. And a part of our operations and our strategy growth or strategy to scale is our obedience. That's a part of how we operate these businesses. It's from a place of surrender and obedience. So no matter what you own, what got your name on it, what equity you have, what IP you have, how many businesses you have, it's still not yours. And that's proven with your ability to surrender to the Lord and to obey what he says to do with what he's allowed you to manage. I pray that if you've gotten this far, that you understand the difference between scaling a business the world's way, scaling it the Lord's way. I pray that you understand the posture and the mindset and the approach that you need to take to make sure that you are scaling a business the Lord's way and not just saying it in lip service, but actually living these principles out. I pray that I've been able to provide you some clarity on how to do that. I also wanted to provide some examples. I always like to, especially when we talk about growing businesses, bring in some real world examples of Christian businesses who've been successful at applying these, because I believe that these stories and testimonies will allow us to fuel our faith to see just how big the Lord can grow what he's given us if we get out the way and live by what the text has set the perfect example for. So the first business I want to highlight is Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby is a Christian business. It is a national arts and crafts retail chain founded by David Green. I know many of y'all, if y'all are crafters, you like to decorate things or whatever, you may love Hobby Lobby. Because I own a content studio, we always go to Hobby Lobby for different decor, props for photo shoots and things like that. So I love Hobby Lobby for sure. And I was excited to find out that they were a Christian business because I had no clue. They started with $600 in a garage. $600 in a garage, and now they have over 900 stores as a Christian-owned business. They tithe 50% of their profits to ministries and missions. They value their employees by prioritizing fair pay and being closed on Sundays. And they operate debt-free and fund Bible education initiatives like the Museum of the Bible. Hobby Lobby is a multi-billion dollar company that started with $600 in a garage. You can't tell me that there are limits to how God could scale a business. Because I think a lot of times, and I like to use these real world examples of these businesses that have scaled to major heights, because I feel like we look at faith-based businesses, or we look at, let me say this, we look at businesses in the world and how they are these billion-dollar companies, multi-million-dollar companies, they amass such great wealth. And we feel like because we want to do things the Lord's way, or if we do things the Lord's way, somehow we won't also be financially successful. And that's not true. It's somehow we feel like it's less than to be generous. Because if we felt like it was as empowering as it actually is, we would do it more willingly. If we've truly felt as if doing business God's way was better than the world's, then it wouldn't be so hard for us to just commit to it. The temptation of the enemy to bring us back into pride wouldn't be as effective if we truly saw what the Lord can do as better and of way more value than what the world could do. And so I'm bringing in these real life, real business examples because I want us to see just how big we can scale while still having kingdom impact, while still being pleasing to the Lord, while still storing up treasures in heaven, while still making sure that when the day of judgment comes and everything we've done is burnt by fire, that our businesses and everything we've done in the Lord's name will sustain. We can have earthly success and still be pleasing to the Lord. We can. And businesses like Hobby Lobby are a great example of that. I didn't even know, as I was researching this to tell you, I didn't even know that they funded initiatives like Museum of the Bible. Museum of the Bible is in D.C. It's an amazing, if y'all live or visit the D.C. area, go to Museum of the Bible. It's a really, really great museum. Another business example is Convoy of Hope. So this is a faith-based humanitarian relief organization, and they provide disaster response, food, and aid worldwide. This organization scaled from a local outreach organization to a global impact organization that feeds millions of people annually. They prioritize generosity, of course, and they operate with spirit-led stewardship. They delegate effectively. Remember, we talked about delegation through having global teams all over the world to maximize the response and the resources. So this is a company that is applying exactly what, or excuse me, an organization that's applying exactly what we've discussed in this episode, and we've seen how they've been able to scale. For those of you who have more service-based organizations, nonprofits, or even if you're a social entrepreneur, glean from this company to see that if I apply these kingdom scaling principles versus defaulting to the world, that the Lord can allow me to help even more people. He will multiply my efforts in ways that I could have never imagined. And the last company I want to bring up is Dayspring Cards. So Dayspring is a subsidiary of Hallmark Cards, and they are a prominent producer of Christian-themed greeting cards and gifts. The company has reported annual revenues of approximately $75 million. Their products are distributed in over 60 countries, and they reach and influence more than 1 billion, with a B, people per year. So they have built, this company has built scalable systems that expand their reach through publishing, retail, and digital. As we can see, reach into the billions. They maintain biblical integrity in their content while scaling to serve billions of people and make multi-millions of dollars. And they produce faith-based cards, gifts, and devotionals. Those of you who have product-based businesses, this is a company that you can glean from to see that if I scale the Lord's way, I don't have to compromise. I just have to be focused. I just have to be obedient. And I just have to make room for the Lord to multiply. So I pray that these three very different businesses are able to give you guys examples and even give me examples of how the Lord can scale what he's called you to do. We don't have to do it the way that the world is doing it. There's so much temptation to. But we have to, as the word says, resist the enemy and he will flee. The Bible says that the Lord will never tempt us more than what we can handle. And he will never allow us to be tempted without providing a way out. And that could, I believe those scriptures are applied mostly to temptations like sexual immorality or any type of substance that you may particularly like. That's when we hear those scriptures the most. But those still apply to all forms of temptation, even the temptation to not operate your business the kingdom way. And so I would really encourage you, because all of us are looking to scale our business. Like, what do you have a business for if you don't want to grow? Like, all of us should be looking to grow, scale, increase our impact, increase our bottom line. But we have to stay focused on his way. We're doing business in the world. We're in these modern spaces where temptation is everywhere, where it seems as if the world's way is a lot more clear. But that's why we're doing this Bible on Business series, to where I pray that the Lord has been able to illuminate an alternative to you and provide you with the clarity necessary so that now you can apply it and not be so easily swayed into the enemy's territory. So I'm going to end this episode here. I pray that it blessed you. I pray that you have a new mindset around scaling businesses. And most importantly, I pray that you can apply the things that we have discussed and see what the Lord will do. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.